Hi everyone, your old friend Will here. The following interview was conducted for my recent zine, The Journal of Stoogeological Studies, an unauthorized Three Stooges fanzine. The great filmmaker Guy Madden, whose films we've discussed on this podcast, including My Winnipeg and The Saddest Music in the World, is, among other things, an accomplished collage artist, and he makes frequent use of the Three Stooges in his work, often juxtaposing pictures of Curly, Larry, and Moe with high art canvases, work by J.M.W. Turner and that caliber of artist. I've long been curious about what role the Stooges played in his artistic practice and why he kept incorporating them, and I thought now was as good a time as ever to drop the great filmmaker a line and ask him his thoughts. You can find a written version of this interview in the Journal of Stoogeological Studies, which I highly encourage you to purchase if you haven't. It's only $5 on Amazon. But without further ado, I'm pleased to share this conversation with one of my favorite filmmakers about one of my favorite topics. Actually, can I just start with a non-Stooge question and just ask how filming went?
Oh, it went okay. Yeah, it was a very charming experience. A month spent in almost entirely night shoots.
Wow.
Like 95% night shoots in Hungarian forests. It's kind of cold and damp, but very magical. We got the artificial fog machines going. We got some real fog. The trees are really bigger, much bigger there than I'm used to in the scrubby northern prairie lands in which I live. And looked kind of tropical there, even at times, to this Manitoban. But it was lovely. And just wandering around in the dark and in the fog, sometimes the fog would get too thick and they'd have to turn everything off and wait for the wind to blow it away. And the wind would blow away and you'd see like Kate Blanchett standing before you or something like that.
Does something about that perpetual darkness kind of bring something to the movie? Does it bring a certain atmosphere? Like I obviously on screen, but just in the spirit of the Enterprise being in the dark that long?
Yeah, it does. It did sort of blur the edges big time between waking and dreaming.
Yeah.
We'll see if, you know, almost the entire movie's set in the dark. But I've made movies before that are set entirely in the dark, and I've been happy with the visual variety. Here's hoping that it doesn't get monotonous. But I think there's enough things happening in the script, and it's yeah, I think it'll be okay.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I admire your work greatly. So,
Thank you so much, always
happy for a new one. Regarding the Stooge related questions, I guess
I got to commend you for loving the Stooges. I presume you do.
Yes. Well, this zine assignment started. I just had a very spur of the moment idea during the summer to, you know, on my social media feeds. I don't know. I thought it'd be funny in this day and age to do a zine about the Three Stooges and commission solicit submissions. So I put a call for submissions, and I've got quite a lot, and some very wonderful ones too. So it's turning into a very gratifying project. Yeah.
I know I read some, you know, I bought a bunch of Stooges books to cut up to make my collages, and it's not like the world's greatest academics are writing on the Stooges, but there's some real ardent fandom there amongst, and let's face it, smart people like the Stooges. Come on, you know, it's you gotta they might be an aging demographic. I'm not sure how many Gen Z kids are foaming at the mouth for some rare Shemp footage, you know, or anything like that. But maybe you and you alone can turn that tide. I don't know.
I'm working at it. I mean, the brand awareness is better than for most Depression era comedians. and certainly something to work with. But
since no one even remembers the Depression,
yeah. I guess my first question for you, the most obvious one, would be, you know, you incorporate the Stooges into a number of collage pieces. What is it about them? You know,
if well, that I wish I could say it was for some that it was for some worthy political cause or something like that. That I've found in them, you know, emblems of some ongoing, you know, hegemonic oppression in the global socio-political sphere. But sometimes I just like their faces, and I don't know. I long ago quit feeling guilty about being delighted by them. You know, watching Mo Howard shave Curly's tongue with a straight razor, you know, stuff like that just feels great. And or shave his eyelids. I think that's in Cactus Makes Perfect. And then just seeing those faces just glued over top of some higher brow material. It's just a very pleasing juxtaposition. Sorry to pull out like a $3 word when a combo. The combo of a JMW Turner painting and Curly Howard is pretty great. Or a Cy Twombly drawing with Curly. Although Larry and Mo look great and equally great and Shemp as well. I haven't used much. What's his name? Joe Del Rita?
Curly Joe Derrida. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't used much of him because when you get these books, at first I just found them, the Stooges books, and then I loved them so much I actually just bought a few. Mm-hmm. But as you know, he's sort of always in the later pages. Kind of like the way when I'm 67 years old, I started becoming a cinephile in 1980. The last chapter of every film history book had Saturday Night Fever in it. And as sort of some sort of afterthought. And I'm sure that's changed in the last 40 years, but it kind of left. Saturday Night Fever was kind of the Curly Joe Derrida of cinema in the day. Maybe Curly Joe Derrida. What is it? Dorita?
Derrita. D-E-R.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I
think he has a certain poetry about him, but that's just
I don't know his work that much because I haven't even seen the feature film or films that he appeared in. I know he worked in, he was already getting a bit long in the Dorita tooth when he joined. He'd already been in some other things, but there, I should give him a chance. Why embrace the Three Stooges and then be snobby about it? You know, it seems like a snob-free zone, you know, to me.
Well, there's something that Jean-Luc Godard said about Jerry Lewis, if, you know, highbrow references are allowed. He said, yes. I think his words were, I find him very funny. And even when he's not funny, he's more funny. And I feel that way about the Stooges and about Curly Joe specifically. But, you know, at the risk of like killing a butterfly in order to dissect it, I see a little bit of that in the collage art where, you know, the Stooges are divorced from any context of being funny. They just exist. And there's something incredibly funny about that removal from the context of humor, you know?
That's true. They're not really, other than just their face, I guess a viewer of the collages could bring, you know, brings a great big of deal of experience with Stooges to the collages, or they bring none. And I haven't put much thought into these things, but I don't even have a great big deal of experience with them. I just have a good deal. You know, I'm a certain age and I've gone through phases where I've watched them a lot, and then a few decades in a row where I didn't watch them at all. And I guess same with the Marx Brothers, which are another thing altogether, but they've just come and gone during my lifetime. But there's something about the ultra stupidity of the Stooges and the way they're regarded by most people as not just disposable, but like maybe they should be violently disposed of.
Like, I don't abject. Know,
just, yeah. I'd make Ritz Brothers collages if anyone knew who they were, you know, that sort of thing. Or who was that act that strongly resembled? There was that Jerry Lewis impersonator who teamed with a kind of a Dean Martin guy.
Duke Mitchell and Sammy Petrillo, yes.
Yeah. I'd make Mitchell and Petrillo collages if anyone remembered them, but I could see John Ashbery making collages about those guys, but he was, you know, he would be 95 now, and he is a demographic that spreads across all ages, but he had so much heft behind his work that he would force his readers and artwork regarders to look up what he's doing. Whereas I don't quite wield that power, but maybe I'll get, if there was just a good source material of Mitchell and Petrillo photos, maybe I'd move into them along with, you know, some of the more marginalized abstract expressionists or academy painters or something. I'm not sure I'm going in the right direction with my collage.
Well, you mentioned that you source most of these photos from books, and I assume that the texture of the printed page is like, you wouldn't print, you know, a photo of somebody from online, you know, using a desktop.
I have never done that. No.
Yeah.
No. I know some people do. They get the highest res images online. No, I'm a purist that way. I use I just use actual hard copies. And it's a little disappointing sometimes if you order a book online and you find out it's basically printed on newsprint and the picture's quite faded, and you'd really wish you could increase the contrast on parts of the photo, especially faces, so they really pop. I'm kind of as a filmmaker and a collage maker, I'm kind of a close-up guy. I like faces to pop and be recognizable and their expressions to be readable. It's maybe I'm a simpleton, but I like my faces to pop.
Well, the texture of the photos in the collage pieces, you know, there is something about the texture. Like, it looks like a printed page. It doesn't look like, you know, a human being. It's had a kind of filter applied to it, which I think is very evocative.
I like making them really small collages. I haven't really sold many of these things anyway. I sold the first few collages I made, and I was quite excited. I thought, geez, I can retire from filmmaking and just make collages. But it turns out there are only about 10 people in the world who wanted a Guy Maddin collage. And I'm hoping to change that. I'm lowering my prices in a big Christmas collage blowout sale starting any day now. But I really like the small collages. Like, if you get a postage stamp size picture of one of the Stooges and cut out the face or part of the face and put it over top of a postage stamp size image of something else, you see all the half tone printing dots and stuff, and they look nice, sort of Roy Lichtenstein, you know, sort of that pop art thing. So I'm not hoeing up any new ground here, but they're just pleasing to the eye. At first, I start making collages, after years of working mostly in black and white film. And I found it very pleasing to mess around with collages and find palette, color palette combinations that pleased my eye, so often without any concern for what the juxtapositions of two images. I mostly combine two images, not often anymore, sometimes three or four, but rarely. I just like a simple collision, you know, the old surrealist collision of two unlikely objects. But I just liked discovering what works and what doesn't work with color combinations. So it was a way for me to work on my palette without high stakes, costly film shoots to work those out on. But quite often what I was combining was palettes, not images. So I might have accidentally sent out some messages I didn't mean to, because what I was looking at with my eyes. But I've since learned to try to say something, although it's, like I say, it's never been politically charged. I'm an Icelandic, Scottish, Canadian, white male. I'm like, what cause am I going to, you know? I can be an ally for other causes, but with my collages, I'm just risking doing more harm than good if I try to go there. Besides, I'm an Ashbery acolyte in the collage department. I like just creating something, saying something that is kind of mysterious and maybe just delightful for its own sake. And that's about it.
Well, forgive me if this completely destroys the practice, but there's something small p political about kind of juxtaposing Curly on a J.M.W. Turner painting, the sort of dissolution of high and low that happens there. I feel like a jerk, like putting that into words, but like if there's any politics to it, it's probably in there.
Yeah, in the small p range. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'm against classism and, you know, all sorts of other things, and you know, I have my politics, but I I'm, for the things I really care about, I'd be just best described as an ally. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if having the Three Stooges aboard as allies is anything for these causes to get excited about.
I know. I like they'll spill everything everywhere at the meetings.
Yeah, they'll blink eyes for you.
Yeah,
at protest marches, civil disobedience, and just one of their shorts is called "Disorder in the Court." You know, indeed. So they could teach everyone a few lessons about civil disobedience and intifadas and you know, who knows, maybe they're saying a lot more than anyone thinks.
In the collage work, a lot of the images come from sources like, you know, a movie like White Zombie or the Universal Monster films, and those movies that have. And, you know, it's also true in your films that the incorporation of some of these aesthetics, it has, you know, those movies have a certain dreamlike quality. And sorry if this is a leading question, but would you put the Three Stooges on that same, them and their movies on that same continuum?
Oh, man, what I wouldn't, you know, like Abbott and Costello got to meet. The Wolfman and Dracula and Frankenstein, albeit with the bench actors in those juicy roles. I guess, did they sign with Universal, Abbott and Costello? I'm not sure.
I think that's where they spent most of their career, yeah.
Yeah, that explains all these Universal intellectual properties showing up in their films, but only if it was the Stooges. But again, maybe it would just be too high and whatever. Oh, come on, James Whale invented a kind of movie kitsch. Mm-hmm. that's exquisitely beautiful and well crafted, just like can't even be matched to this day. Maybe Francis Coppola came the closest with his Dracula, but Whale seemed to get, like, right at the dawn of talking pictures, he seemed to understand how to queer signal out there into the world all sorts of wonderful high camp, low camp, Ernest Thesiger, Colin Clive. I don't know. That stuff's really beautiful. Maybe it would make for a queasy combination to take the brash kitsch of the brashness, the brash flavorings of the Three Stooges and mix them with the really highfalutin queer camp of James Whale and all the flavors of his that seem to waft over the productions of even the films he didn't direct over at Universal. So did he even do Universal? I don't even know. I'm no film encyclopedia. No, he did Bride of Frankenstein and Frankenstein and everything. But anyway, I'm a little vague on my film scholarship this morning. Sorry. But all I can do is try. I got to lay in another supply of books. I used to buy them exclusively from secondhand bookstores, books that had gone unloved for many years and unpurchased. They were a bit overpriced for anyone. It felt really blasphemous to cut up books at first. Really wrong. I started with my own coffee table book collection, which I had collected over the decades at great expense, hoping that someday I'd have people over and they'd, you know, I'd pour them a really beautiful cocktail and they'd sit and pore over these coffee table books that I'd bought. And not once did that happen in 35 years. So I just decided the only way the images trapped inside these books would ever get seen is if I made collages out of them, liberated them from the bindings that imprisoned them, and putting them out there in the world as collages. And so my conscience finally was cleared. At first, it really felt wrong, but you just had to sort of dive in with your scissors, pointy end first, and start, you know, desecrating the books. It's not like I was burning books that were politically unsavory to me. I was cutting up books I loved, and but recycling them into things that might be loved in return. So,
and now Larry lives again.
Yeah, exactly. You get to combine them with some other stuff, but I haven't tried that. It's like two different worlds to me. Those Universal horror things and the Three Stooges. I've made thousands of collages, most of them crap, and I've thrown them out. But I don't think I've even once tried to introduce those two worlds to each other, the Universal horror cycle and the Three Stooges. Might really work. It might create like a Basquiat like revolution in the art world or something like that.
I mean, the two worlds are both kind of these grotesque icons. They're both hyper real, otherworldly. I don't know. I think much like it did with Abbott and Costello, it could work.
Maybe I'll stay up all night tonight in my mad scientist laboratory and try to see what happens. If I'm found dead in the morning, you'll know what happened.
Finally, I'll just ask, because I feel I should, do you have a favorite Stooge? And if so, who is it? If you could only have one on a desert island with you.
Yeah, I hate to be so conventional, but it's just the original Curly Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And his story is so tragic.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I don't love the other ones. I've encountered people over the years that have really, I will send you the name of this great African-American Film Institute scholar and film academic who describes Ina Archer. INA, and then Archer, and the exact name of her position, which is an impressive one. I would like to get right, so maybe you or I could look it up. But she and I started talking about the Stooges, and she described Mo as the hottest stooge. And she's just an unapologetic Mo fan. I've known many other people that love Larry. And what's not to love? They're all adorable. And Shemp, who died in the backseat of a taxi cab, just like the great American writer James Agee. A fine aspiration, fine ambition to die in the backseat of a taxi cab. I'm going to New York weekend and intend to hop in many a cab. So it's a I see the trip as a chance to not only introduce Archangel at the Metrograph, but to maybe complete the hat trick. We'll see.
Well, best of luck to you in accomplishing that that goal.
But I think these things just sort of happen to you. You get a chance and you take it, you know.
Yeah.
You can't really make it happen.
The raindrops bring happy hours. God's teardrops to bless the flowers.
Give thanks every day when you kneel and pray, and give thanks for your blessings each day.
Good night from Mo.
Good night from Larry.
Good night from Joe.
Good night from the Three Stooges.
Sleep tight, kids.
Good night.